Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and can someone give me a call when it's okay to escape the Devil May Cry hype apocalypse already? And with me, I have...
Why did Ivan Moody get a Pokemon tattoo on his face, or whatever that thing is? Like, that's just... Ugh.
And...
Ah, damn, daylight savings.
Yeah.
I mean, at least it don't get that dark quick anymore, but I mean, that's another, what, like 8 or 9 months? Actually, no, 8 months, I'm guessing.
Yeah. November.
I thought it was October. Or, wait, is the other daylight savings on Halloween, I think it is? Or somewhere?
Like the week after.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. Although, the one bright side for me is that the thing I hate about the daylight savings where we gain an hour is that it messes with my sleep schedule to the point where I always end up waking up, like, an hour before my alarm goes off, like, before I have to go to work. And so I'm, like, struggling to just get back in that sleep mode, but I'm like, wait, I might sleep past my alarm, fuck. So at least now I have, like, that moment where I pretty much get up at pretty much 5 minutes before the alarm. And then just savor however much 5 minutes I have left. I like sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, at the day we're recording, it is both National Nap Day and Investigate 311. That's important. And also, don't forget to investigate T11.
Yeah.
But what we're saying is Eric Andre is hilarious.
When's season 5 happening?
Fingers crossed, man. I mean, we gotta know, since apparently Adult Swim doesn't release development slates anymore.
Oh. Fuck.
Oh.
For whatever reason. But anyway, episode 120. How's everything been going with you guys lately?
I really could have used that extra hour of sleep on Saturday night because, well, two reasons. One, Mr. Fuckface Von Clown Shoes wants the daylight saving time to be permanent, to which I say, no, shut up, fuck you. And two, I had to work a 10-hour day on a busy checkout day because one of our guys decided to stay home just because, so I'm not too pleased about that.
Well, fuck that guy.
Yeah, he's probably on the way out soon enough, but aside from that, yeah, I haven't done a whole lot. Just been relaxing and trying as much as I can anyway while I'm not working. Enjoyed a couple of days off to catch up on mostly sleep, because screw this whole concept of daylight savings time. It kills farmers! Not literally, I mean it kills their business.
Okay. Yeah.
Or something. I don't know. Just get rid of it already. We don't need it anymore.
No, we do not. Although I prefer keeping it on this particular spot. It fits perfectly fine with my circadian rhythm. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Let's see. Aside from that, I say I'm fucking my sleep because I've been feeling groggy every time I go to work. Because, well, like you, I wake up 30 minutes after maybe before my alarm goes off. Because, I don't know, I think the sleep one man is like, nah, I gotta get back up, I must do something, like, I guess I watch YouTube or some anime, or some shit. But, anyway, aside that, usual with, you know, me writing some more, which I've been slacking on, apparently, and, pretty much that's it.
Yeah, kind of seems like one of those weeks when you really think about it. Anyway, as for me, well, I got out to the movies, saw Captain Marvel, kind of dead center, middle of the road as far as the Marvel Cinematic Universe is concerned. Not too hot, not too cold, just kind of okay. Although I want an entire movie of Samuel L. Jackson and the cat. they know how to capitalize on that cat-loving audience. Was there anything else? Well, right now this week I'm technically off for spring break, and I'm going to hit up Universal Orlando over the weekend, and that will probably be, like, you know, a fun time and a half. Yeah, because, seriously, I could use just getting away from, you know, Miami again. Although, hopefully in a context where I can, like, you know, sleep in a hotel bed and not Airbnb in someone's apartment or whatever. But that's basically about it. So, now time to jump into the usual business, starting off, of course, with the new song discussion for this week. As always, there's a link to a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with these songs and decide what's your cup of tea and what's not. But before we begin proper, we need to pour one out for Mr. Rob Kersey of Psycho Stick fame. For you see, he is sober on St. Patrick's Day.
Perish the thoughts.
Wait, shit, that means I probably shouldn't be pouring one out. Fuck, this is liquor he could be using. What am I... Oh, wait, I forgot. It's Merlort. He hates that shit. Fuck you. Seriously, you ever, like, watch those live streams where they, like, agree to take donations to take shots, and there's always, like, an option for, like, okay, donate this much, we'll take a shot of fucking garbage-ass Merlort. That's the best. But, yeah, the guys in Psycho Stick have been keeping busy. They released a song called Sober on St. Patrick's Day, their first song release from the new studio that they've built, which is apparently, and this is true, not in the basement of a house. Good for them. And yeah, as you can probably tell, it's about what you would expect, you know. The general, like, first half or so of the song is like this acoustic kind of Irish shanty sort of thing. Kind of sounds like some Flogging Molly type shit, which, again, is appropriate. And, you know, Rob is singing about how he's broke as fuck and can't afford any kind of beer or liquor. Until he gets a call from his buddy Terry, who apparently has a full keg, and then they proceed to get completely fucking tanked. And then, of course, you know, he does all, they do all kinds of fun things, you know. They fuck up some Mexican food, he takes a shit on the roof, you know. The usual Psycho Stick shenanigans.
Mm-hmm. Copious amounts of alcohol and tacos. Excuse me. The true way to celebrate St. Patty's Day. Although this year there might be some problems with that because it's falling on a Sunday.
Ah, man. What? Wait, oh. What are you... Wait, like, unless they have to go to, like, oh, man, do we have day jobs? I forget.
Yeah, because, you know, in some places they don't sell beer on Sundays. They don't sell beer on Sundays at all after, like, you know, all day or after 11 until like, 11 a.m. or something. Or, you know, you live in a dry county.
Oh, yeah. We got to pour one out for those people, too. Oh, hey, another bottle of Merlort. Hey. No one will ever have to drink this. But yeah, that's an amusing enough song that hopefully might, you know, soundtrack the drinking of people who actually can drink on St. Patrick's Day. But now to move on to the next song. And hey, look, it's Quale Chris. Again. And friends. A whole lot of friends. Too many friends. And I'm convinced half of these are fake because they have funny sounding fake names. Mark, help me out here.
So as I said before the last time, Quale Chris has a new album coming out, coming March 29th, I believe, 29th, called Simply Guns. And there's another song from that album called Straight Shot. And it features these names, Cavalier, Balia Celine, James Acaster, and I can't even pronounce his name,
Eldar Jangarov. Well, wasn't that a Quentin Tarantino movie?
Let's go with that.
Jangarov, yeah. Unchained.
Okay, let's go on off. Now, on this track, Straight Shot, it is very soulful, like it has the piano working for him, and it do go like the rappers, like, in words, like they talk about the Charlie Child News, like basically the shit, you know, the whole thing around this album, you know, guns, like, you know, gun culture in America, all that type of shit. Like, even the chorus where they say, everything is a straight shot from here. I will say, last time on the single he did with Guns, he is kind of low, at least from what I heard of him. It's like, I can hear you a bit. I mean, it's kind of better, but I don't know. But yeah, the song is interesting to know about, and just hearing about, you know, another concept that. The convention of things to learn about, you know, considering what's going on around, you know, the past few years involving around guns. So yeah, pretty interesting.
You know, the instrumental for this kind of reminds me of like a Chance the Rapper joint in a vague sense. That's really the only observation I had to add to the song. It's very bizarrely quaint and serene. But now let's move on to the opposite of that, because while we're on the subject of guns, seem like a certain Maryland MC over here is quite trigger-happy, so to speak. Yep, Mr. IDK, you know, after his various one-off collaborative songs and, of course, his EP IDK and Friends, looks like he's finally back on the path to his, you know, next studio album, Is He Real?, which we don't have a date for yet. And, of course, he's back with the song Trigger Happy, and this is, you know, those other diversions are fine, but this is the IDK I enjoy, where, of course, it's just nothing but, like, just vicious flow and bars from start to finish. You know, he's all about accusing, like, fellow MCs of, like, you know, fucking jealousy of his, like, threatening flows, always trying to write his dick now that he's coming up in the scene. Oh, and there's a certain other part of the song that's probably worth mentioning. Turns out there is, like, a specific Maryland rapper that he doesn't seem to be too fond of. In fact, he's one that we've mentioned quite a bit on this podcast. It is the young Sinatra himself, Logic. Like, he even calls him out, like, with lines like, "Logic and his manager tried to ruin my deal. This ain't a diss, he won't respond, it ain't a risk." And just from there, it's like, damn, like, he's got some problems with him, yo.
Yep. Like, okay, yeah, okay. I kind of, now gonna see how this, well, is some beef will go. I'm not gonna see how this will go. But yeah, it sounds pretty dope. IDK, IDK is back doing this. Is how IDK, that, you know, back going and shit with this. You know, it's still good. Like, I did not expect a Logic this, or maybe I should have. But yeah, this is pretty interesting hearing this from him.
Yes. Yes, it is. And speaking of rap artists that we have discussed multiple times on this podcast, Freddie Gibbs and Madlib. Again. Together. Again.
Once again, they have another single of their upcoming album, Bandana, which yeah, we don't know when it's going to be released either. But this track, Bandana. Yeah.
Yep, title track.
Yeah, the title track. Yeah, pretty much it's 3 minutes of that Freddie Gibbs tough talk you always get, which always sounds good coming in with this very interesting Madlib beat, which has, you know, more of a Jamaican dancehall vibe, which actually because it's a verse from Jamaican dancehall DJ Assassin, which okay, I do see legit shit on here, which yeah, Assassin does come with the vocals, which. Yeah, which even though I don't know what the fuck he's saying, he's like, yeah, it sounds like good shit. It's interesting knowing that Madlib would just be like this, and I do see Freddie rapping on this, but yeah, this is kind of good. This is very different from what he usually gives us, at least from what I recently hear from him.
I have no idea what Assassin is rapping about either, but at least it makes sense with, like, the sort of tribal beat of everything. Again, Madlib killing it on the beats as usual. But now time to move on to the next song here. Probably the longest one we're talking about here. And of course, it's another one from Inter Arma. That's probably like the third time we've talked about them in like 2 fucking weeks. At least if we're talking by song count anyway. So yeah, April 12th, we'll see the Doom Outlet's newest album, Sulfur English. And I'm only now realizing I spelled it wrong here in the template. God damn it. Anyway, so we have the second single from the album, a track called, and I have no idea what these words mean either, The Atavist's Meridian. I'm assuming that's some kind of naval navigation term for, like, the oceans or something, but, you know, your guess is as good as mine. And yeah, so after we got, like, the pleasant, you know, sort of sounding post-metal vibe of their Adult Swim single, and the more harsh, traditionally doomy track of, you know, the lead-off single from this album, this one kind of sits sort of between those two, but kind of with its own little, like quirks to it as well. It opens up with this rhythmically off-kilter drum beat that, of course, heavily emphasizes these unusual, like, snare-hit syncopations. Like, I almost want to say it's, like, maybe a 5/4 or maybe something in, like, something over 8 time signature, but I still haven't counted that together yet. Meanwhile, the guitar kind of drones along with this low, buzzing, really simplistic progression. Like, when you hear what it's playing, it's only really, like, two notes overall. And as it's going through, like, the first half of the song, it only really changes in that it kind of moves up or down, like, a step or a half step or whatever as it's going through. And when you're listening to the vocals as well, once they finally kick in, they're this really, they're kind of screechy, but they're also warped by, like, these psychedelic, like, you know, distortion effects that kind of evokes, like, you know, kind of classic Morbid Angel albums. And it kind of repeats, like, that way throughout until there eventually is, like, more of this wispy post-metal break. You know, the guitar leads kind of drone on. The time signature becomes more of a clear 4/4. The vocals are more this spoken word unnerving thing with this kind of ominous post-punk reverb. You know, everything kind of builds and builds until the doom shit kicks back in right around 9 minutes or so. It's certainly a more varied experience than either past two tracks, and this gives me some confidence that this album won't be just a one-trick pony.
So this is pretty visceral and menacing and in-your-face and extremely noisy in a very good way, but once again, I'll have to come back with more on this later. This band is really making me have to think a little more about everything, and I like that. Good on them.
Thinking is an important thing to do. And by the way, speaking of in your face, Cupcake! Man, I'm getting better at the segues this week. So yeah, we got another Lucy track from Miss Cupcake over here, and it's one called Bird Box. I'm assuming technically there's no relation to the movie. At least not that I can make through, because, you know, she's fucking rapping hard and fast AF through all these bars. Over top, a pretty good instrumental, I'll say first off. It kind of sounds like maybe, like, a poppier version of that Ghost Main Adult Swim single. Like, it kind of has, like, the same effects as that Clam Casino beat and everything. And then, of course, you know, weaving through bar after bar of pure savagery, how everyone else sucks, how her pussy makes all the money, lots of food puns, like, put a spell on a bitch like I'm whipping up some SpaghettiOs, fucking... The second to last line of the song, of course, it really gets me. Like, I think she says something like, "Never try to break me, but it never works like McDonald's ice cream machine." Ooh. Harsh, but true. Hell, she sure apparently even has some choice words for a Mr. Jussie Smollett, if that name rings a bell. All y'all faking shit like Jamal off Empire. Yeah.
Yep.
That's gone on a weird path, man.
But anyway, this song. I gotta say, this song. Yeah, it's you know, it's Cupcake. The girl bar out. That's always. People with a lot of breath, so we go call it Bird Box.
Indeed, gotta, you know, wild out and everything. And anyway, now to move on to this past week's entry of the Adult Swim Singles program from an artist who I have completely never heard of before. Like, not even tangentially. So this ought to be fun, won't it? This one comes to us from a band called Azar Swan, A-Z-A-R, and the song is called Empire Grave, and, well, this is definitely one of those very synth-heavy kind of Adult Swim singles. There's some very, like, in intros with some, these very buzzy, cutting, like, synth swells in the beginning, with a lot of it being driven by this kind of four-on-the-floor kick, with this kind of, like, muffled bass rhythm going throughout. There's also, you know, the singer over top. She kind of sings in this haughty, like, I guess it's kind of somewhere between, like, Youth Code and nightclub sort of vocal style. Especially once the synths start to, you know, build in more and more and things almost get kind of, I guess, a little bit noisier, but also a little bit synth-wavy as well. Lots of bleeps and bloops fading in and out in this ominous fashion with these kind of busted, frayed electronic effects in there. You know, maybe it's because we just came off the album roundup, but this is kind of reminding me of Health more than I think about it. Which isn't a bad thing, of course. I approve. All things should be like Health.
Yeah, I got nothing much to say about this track. I can listen to it. We got in a very synth electronic thing, and that, you know, that works. Yeah.
Right on. And now we can move on to the next song here from one of IDK's friends, Mr. Denzo Curry, who is presumably still riding high off the waves of traffic from that bomb-ass Rage Against the Machine cover. Seriously, have you guys heard that shit? It's fucking amazing.
Yes. It's very good.
Yep. Yeah, like you said, you got a booth track, which is teamed up with producer Charlie Heat, who worked with many people such as Kanye West. He's part of Good Music, so I think that might be it. And certainly enough, Madonna. Okay, that's kind of weird. Anyway, we got a new track here called Aloha. And first off, oh my god, this shit bangs. This motherfucking shit bangs. Like, Juby, we mixing up the trap beats and the mariachi trumpets. Like, this sounds tropic as fuck. You would play this walking the street. Walking the street, like it's big bass. Like, this is a fire beat.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and also, yes, this song does go hard. Like, there also been some, like, I don't know if this part of a, heard from people part of some larger project that he might be into, but they ain't heard that yet. But but yeah, he's sure did the curious ass off as usual, and production is great. Like this is phenomenal, man. I love every minute of this.
My inner Hispanic is, of course, very impressed by all the trumpets and the beat. Denzel Curry spit some hard shit. I will say I've heard harder from him. Then again, this is coming off that Rage Against the Machine cover. You can't get harder than that, man. But yeah, solid enough. Anyway, speaking of stuff that goes hard as concrete. So, May 3rd, you know, getting into May releases now, we'll see the return of the band Ringworm with their newest album, Death Becomes My Voice. And, you know, to coincide with the new announcement, we of course have the first lead-off single here, which is, of course, the title track. And, you know, it's solid enough. I can say I've heard maybe better from this band. Like, okay, it intros with, like, you know, ominous guitar harmonizing, this kind of sludgy bass riff underneath, the drums building up as well. Then the full band kicks in and it basically goes, like, straight kind of, like, you know, D-beat kind of pseudo-crossover thrash kind of thing. Except the vocals are more, like, you know, gnashing and wailing instead of, like, that kind of yelpier style like you would expect from, like, Iron Reagan or, like, you know, Suicidal Tendencies or something. It's, like... And then there's, of course, there's that bridge where things kind of slow down more halftime into kind of a Hatebreed style, you know, before the solo section fucking goes ham as hell. The production is alright. Maybe it could be a bit beefier and, like, the drums, even if it still has, like, that crushing, like, you know, slashing kind of vibe to it. But the song is, at the end of the day, kind of super repetitive. Like, even more so than, like, a lot of Ringworm tracks, like, to the point where it kind of feels like it numbs on you after a while. I mean, it's still, like, you know, slams and slaps, though, I'll give it that.
Yeah, I didn't feel it was too repetitive. It was short enough for me, but, yeah, pretty solid. I especially like how it builds up to that first verse, and it's just very good. Great, intense, fist-pounding riffage all over.
And now we segue into the most inappropriate song to follow that bit of thrashing intensity, Mac DeMarco.
Damn. Now it's time for Attack DeMarco! Gogagi!
So, yeah, it looks like another big May release, this one coming out May 10th, is this guy's, you know, latest album, Here Comes the Cowboy. And he's released the lead-off single Nobody, and if this is raising some alarm bells in your head, possibly, don't worry, Mitski is aware of it as well.
Yep.
Apparently, they share some professional connections in the music industry, so I've heard.
That I like.
Yeah. You could just go ahead and listen to the, you know, Mitski track, because this one is like... Okay, I know his style is like this kind of mellowish indie rock sort of thing, but he usually at least manages to have a pulse. And, you know, sure, this is a logical extension of the style of, you know, this old dog, but it's this super light indie pseudo-country sort of thing, like... Kind of like Father John Misty if you took out all the musical extraneities, except for, like, him and his guitar and, like, you know, the drums and shit. I mean, shit, the only thing of note is that weird Mitski connection. This is honestly doing nothing for me. You know, except for the fucking weird-ass video where, like, a fucking lizard person cowboy is singing the song. What the fuck was that, man?
Okay, as somebody who, like, I have been at the Mac DeMarco, like, recently, like, maybe since his last album, and I did notice the Helmisky connections to that, and even though like I slightly do dig this a bit, I do it looks like, you know, basically what Matt DeMarco usually does. Like I could like it's very chill. Well, chill listen to it to the audio video. It's like, is that a lizard? Is that a lizard cowboy singing? And then there's this pink hair. Then this pink haired person. And he said order two pepperoni pizza pies. No, get two. But they big as fuck, so what? Get them anyway. Those wings too.
Lizard cowboys, pizza, and pink wigs. I'm telling you, these Fallout 76 modders are getting really creative lately. Maybe soon they might invent a version of the game that's actually playable. But I digress. So we move on from that bit of nothing to this bit of something. So the week after that, May 17th, looks like we're getting a new project from Ghostly mainstay Comtrues. This one is called Persuasion System, and we have the first official song from the album, which looks like it's going to be the opening track, I think, if I read the track list properly. Existence Schematic. Man, these guys really like, you know, writing these stressful, hard-to-say names and everything. So, yeah, you know, it's Comtrues, and this one, significantly more chipper than I'm used to. Like, this is definitely, like, a major key song if I've ever heard it. You know, you hear it, like, with all the very pleasant, you know, synths playing against that more kind of laid-back but still very, like, you know, that laid-back beat with some kind of, you know, clackety clicks accentuating the beat in spots with those rapid hi-hats and everything. Just kind of like that warble, like, rewinding synth effect in there. It's very nice sounding, you know? Although I'll probably wait for more to come out before, you know, reserving judgment.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I did have some worries going through this since I was sort of beyond this last album. And this is like typical Comtrues. Very good stuff. I'm hearing like it's very chipper like video game sound. And yes, there's a video of this, and yeah, it tells you, yeah, absolutely warning, as in, might want to cover your eyes. Well, at least, absolutely warning, like, in the first few seconds. I mean, I don't know if the whole ladder thing causes, absolutely, but I'm just giving you a warning.
Yep, the kind of warning that the Academy Awards won't give you. Certainly Incredibles 2 won't. But that's neither here nor there. Anyway, moving on to this next one here. This one being, you know, kind of something I threw in here just because it seemed relevant to our interests. And we could always use some, you know, fresh out of left field ideas here. So the week after the Comtrues album on May 24th, we're getting a new album called Zoo Spa from a project called Jets. It's spelled J-E-T-S. You know, there's dashes there. Anyway, this is a combination project that consists of two people, Jimmy Edgar, and the producer Machine Drum, who we have talked about maybe a few times in the past. And they, you know, work on new album. They release this new single here called Potions, which just so happens to feature guest vocals from Miss Dawn Richard, who Machine Drum has, of course, worked with in the past. And yeah, this certainly kind of sounds like it would sit at, like, you know, kind of the midpoint of a Machine Drum and Dawn production style. There's, like, those swelling synth progressions that are very, like, you know, almost kind of sound like synthesized wind instruments. Like, almost kind of like if you funneled, like, Bjork's most recent album through, like, you know, electronic effects and whatnot. And, of course, there's those clapping snares, which are definitely sounding like they're out of Machine Drum's production, you know, production style in his catalog and everything. And, of course, Dawn does not like fucking with basics. So, if you're basic, don't fuck with her. Don't do that.
Okay, this took me by surprise. Like, the first second it begins, like, okay, this sounds nice. Then we got that, the very city poppy sound I'm hearing, like, and here it began. Like, okay, I do hear... There's some good motion coming from you know both Machine Drum and Jimmy Edgar, and okay, and I did like hear like Dawn's vocals in there. It's pretty good. I will say like when I listen to this track like several times. I keep going back to the beginning because I like the way it sounds, because it just got me hooked. Like this, I'm interested to see how this goes.
And now we move on to the last song over here, and it comes from a name which I have not had to think about in a long time. Although I don't know why I'm saying it like that so ominously. I mean, I've never actually listened to their music before. I've managed to dodge that bullet for a while. But yeah, it looks like this past week we got the return of the guys in the Black Keys. Remember that band? You know, they almost kind of came up out of nowhere. Like, you know, one day there was no Black Keys talk, then all of a sudden, all the Black Keys talk for some reason. And now it seems like we're probably going to have to deal with all that again. So, they've released a new song, their first in like 5 years, and it's a track called Low High. And did somebody order fuzz guitars? Because, hoo boy, they are here in spades. And, you know, really, like, you know, I know that at least part of the appeal for these guys, I think, is that they kind of sound like old school rock. And I could even tell you what artists in specific came to mind when listening to this one. I specifically thought of Norman Greenbaum and Creedence Clearwater Revival. No, really, like, you listen to the chord progression of this, it sounds almost exactly like Spirit in the Sky, except, you know, if you sucked out the swing triplets. Or hell, kind of like an old Queens of the Stone Age B-side from, like, one of their first two albums or something. It's... whatever. Again, I don't have full context for their sound or whatever, so maybe this is just, like, you know, it's an outlier, maybe it's how they always sound, but I don't really have much interest to check out more currently.
Giving this track a listen, I was brought to one very steady conclusion. I still do not like the Black Keys at all. They are way not my thing.
Oh, hey, someone who could technically contextualize. Thank God for that. I guess. Like, I don't know how much Black Keys you've listened to compared to me, but it sounds like way more technically.
I've only heard a couple of songs on the radio. One song I kind of like, the others I just don't. Not a fan.
Yeah, that kind of seems par for the course, alright. But oh well, at least we can work that into the tags, and now we have some optimized search engine nonsense. But that does it for all the new song discussion. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have a few news topics to discuss, so stay tuned. And we're back. So, let's talk once again about Bohemian Rhapsody. What? Bohemian Rhapsody. You are a pain in our ass and a thorn in our side. And thankfully, we might only have to deal with you one time, because there's no way they could make you again, can they?
Well...
oh, don't tell me.
Per... some sources, they're already talking about a sequel.
Oh, why?
And I would put money on this. They're not going to talk about Freddie Mercury's sexuality again.
Getting my money.
And they're not going to talk about his AIDS diagnosis, because that's just not kosher for a lot of countries, including ours.
Those fucking bastards. Have fun grave robbing your musical friend, you douchebags. But yeah, musical biopics, man. The talk of the town lately. Especially since when I went to go see Captain Marvel, one of the trailers was for Rocket Man. And I'm not going to be able to think of Taron Egerton as anything other than the dude from Kingsman. So I'm just going to be waiting for... hey, wait a minute. Elton John was in Kingsman 2. Is that why they cast him? I just realized that just now. But anyway, there's some other music biopic news that Mark has brought to our attention.
So it's been a few months since the passing of Aretha Franklin. But we have learned that before the singer's death, there's been a biopic as greenlit by MGM, and it's simply called Respect. Just a little bit. Okay.
Just a little bit.
Now, the Will Before the Death, Franklin handpicked Jennifer Hudson for the starring role, which, okay, I can see that. I mean, Hudson has had some, you know, experience with that. I mean, her story was in Dreamgirls, which I like that movie, the film will focus on Franklin's uncommonly rapid ascent from child singer in her father's choir church to, you know, to the bonfire soul icon that she is. Now,
let me guess. Okay, so the movie is gonna open up on a flash forward to a really iconic performance, and then right before they get on stage, it's gonna flash back all the way to the childhood where they have to think about their entire life before they play, and then they have, you know, the tragic upbringing, the moment of discovery, winning over the cynical record executive, montages of touring and writing iconic songs, fallout with fellow musicians, then big comeback, ending with where that performance starts. Let me guess. That's totally how the movie's gonna go. I already filled in the screenplay for you. Trust me, I saw that Patrick H. Willems video about the formulaicness of music biopics. Just fucking do it already, you fuckers.
You say that, but wasn't that the exact plot thread of Gem and the Holograms?
Yeah, which may very well be the second best satire of musical biopics ever, right beneath, of course, Walk Hard.
Get out of here, Dewey. We're smoking reefer, and you don't want no part of this shit. Get out of here, Dewey. It's called cocaine, and you don't want no part of this shit.
Yeah.
Good old Tim Meadows. Okay,
I know,
anyway,
right? He is a great comedic actor.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, personally, writing the screenplay is Kathy Kahori, whose side quests include them and Louise in Nashville, which... Okay. I ain't seen Nashville. That's a show. I mean, Don Louise. I mean, I guess that's, I don't know. That's a plus. I don't know. I don't know much about it. And producers will be, I mean, Harvey Mason Jr. R&B producer, and Scott Bursing, who produced Straight Outta Compton. Okay, yeah, a good biopic, and Ride Along 2. Oh shit!
Wait, they made a Ride Along 1?
Yeah.
What the fuck even is Ride Along? I don't know. That kind of sounds like something Kevin Hart would star in. Oh my god, don't tell me.
Yeah. Also, another fun fact is I think the second Franklin-based film project to arrive since the death, since April 5th, well, in a month from now, a few weeks from now, the previously shelved 1972 film, concert film, Amazing Grace, will see limited release after premiering at the Doc YNC Festival late last year. So yeah,
that's something I want to watch.
Yep. So,
but I mean, this movie though, again, yeah, this movie. I just filled in all the blanks for you. You're welcome.
I mean, hopefully the writer, I don't know, maybe the writer won't pull the Bohemian Rhapsody or All Eyes on Me. Yeah, I remember All Eyes on Me. Nobody else did.
Ew.
For good reason.
Oh, yeah. That was a movie that came out.
I guess
some people saw it.
Yeah, and it ain't that good.
You know, now that I think about it, I should probably post that Patrick video about music biopics in the music playlist. Just so you all get some good filmmaking analysis content, you know, that isn't from the usual screaming douchebags.
Yeah, one question. Has that dude referenced Straight Outta Compton in that, or did he not include that? Because, I mean, just thinking, have you referenced that movie in there, or...
Well, he does reference, you know, in, you know, the context of kind of how biopics needlessly abridge time so they can cover the whole story. Like, how apparently Eazy-E's AIDS diagnosis matters for all of about 6 minutes throughout the movie. So I'm told.
Yeah, well, yeah, that was close to the end, because, well, yeah, you know, you gotta wrap it up somehow with, yeah.
Yeah, but again, it'd be like that sometimes. Anyway, moving on from that to a festival announcement. So, you know, I feel like we should take this with a grain of salt, since these are all, like, well, partly rumor, but I kind of feel like they're also, like, fully confirmed at this point. So, yeah, so in case you don't remember, this year, August 16th through 18th, we are getting a new iteration of Woodstock. Woodstock 50, the 50th anniversary of Woodstock 1969, but the 20th anniversary of Woodstock 99. Hmm. yeah, that was a thing, wasn't it? But yes, multiple reports from various sources have basically picked together at least the first 25 artists that are confirmed for this set. And of course, it's about what you would expect. So let's just run through at least some of what to expect, you know, before we even see a full post or anything. Some of your expected acts for Woodstock 50 include The Killers, Chance the Rapper, okay. Imagine Dragons.
Oh, fuck.
Dead and Company. Ooh. Santana, hey. Who I heard is going to team up with Rob Thomas of Matchbox 20 to perform the classic hit single Smooth. Still a meme, by the way. Jay-Z. Okay. Oh, hey, the Black Keys.
Okay.
Miley Cyrus.
Oh, damn.
Greta Van Fleet. And Robert Plant.
Oh, good. Just what we need.
Which, quite frankly, is a little bit like going to a buffet and putting French fries and baked potato on your plate at the same time. That's doubling up on starch, dude, man. Come on.
God. That's too much starch.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. There's Cage the Elephant. Oh, hey, here's a bright spot. Janelle Monáe.
Hmm. Oh, yay.
The Raconteurs. Ugh, Jack White, I swear to fucking God. Anyway, Sturgill Simpson. Oh, hey, there's another bright spot. Brandi Carlile. All right. Obviously getting in some of that country appeal. Courtney Barnett. Run the Jewels!
Oh, yo, yay! Hey. Yay.
That's some hype shit. Let's see what else is here. Oh, look, it's Portugal. The Man. we have the Lumineers. Gary Clark Jr. Oh, hey, Mark, look, it's your favorite, Halsey.
Ah, fuck you. Oh, fuck you.
Hey, be careful. She might hear this and try to defend herself in a very odd way.
Look, dude, Todd in the Shadows has, like, you know, 50,000 Twitter followers and 200,000 plus subscribers. We're nowhere near that wavelength yet. Though we're gonna keep grinding till it happens. anyway, Dawes, Pussy Riot, Margot Price, and Bishop Briggs.
Hmm.
So that's what things are looking like for this celebration. And I don't know, is it really much of a celebration though? I mean, you know, sure, Sturgill Simpson, RTJ, that's all bomb ass hype shit, but
yeah, I suppose there are a few notes I want to mention about this whole thing that are kind of importance. For one, all the acts are going to get paid for performing up front, which for a first year event, that's sort of a requirement. Thank you, financiers. This is going to take place at, as many NASCAR fans like myself call it, the Glen, Watkins Glen International Speedway. And of all the performers who were at the original Woodstock event in 1969, I hope Santana isn't the only one who shows up. I mean, there aren't a whole lot, you know, still alive or around, but it would be nice to see more legacy acts on this bill.
Yeah, that would be pretty sweet. You know, you can even divide it between, like, multiple stages. So you can have the quality old-timer stage, and then the other stage of a bunch of trendy bastards you don't give a shit about.
Yeah, and also quoting from this Consequence of Sound posting that we're reading off of, a full lineup announcement, which is said to have over 80 acts, is expected in the next 2 weeks. So I guess we'll have to keep an eye out for that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you could. We'll definitely be revisiting this, and you know, say "I told you so" when we all lament over the double dose of Zeppelin.
Mm. Ugh.
But anyway, now that we've had our fun, time for the last story here, and this one involves royalty payments and, you know, at least partially politics, possibly. And it just makes me very, very annoyed.
Yeah. So, one big talking point, just in general in our society, is the notion of income inequality, tax the wealthy. There is a notion that people should be paid for their work and earn a living wage in order to keep creating the art, and in this case, music, that they make, because, you know, they're artists and they deserve to get paid more than just pennies on the dollar.
Clearly.
But since everybody wants to lose their fucking mind over the platforms of one Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, we gotta deal with this crap, because per a report from, well, everywhere, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon, and Google are stepping forward to challenge a proposed 44% songwriter royalty increase from the Copyright Royalty Board, which they enacted just a short while ago. Granted, this would have taken 5 years to really get to that 44% label, but these companies have stepped in to say, no. We can't let them get 4/100ths of a cent per stream. We gotta keep it at 3/100ths of a cent because, well...
Wait. Hold the fuck up here.
I might be exaggerating a little bit for effect.
44% up from 0.003 is 0.004, and these giant tech companies are throwing a hissy fit over it?
So many
wow,
numbers.
Fuck taxing the rich. We gotta fucking cannibalize those motherfuckers.
Yes. In an email sent to Digital Music News from Spotify, Pandora, and Google, quote, the CRB in a split decision recently issued the U.S. mechanical statutory rates in a manner that raises serious procedural and substantive concerns. If left to stand, the CRB's decision harms both music licensees and copyright owners. But not the songwriters, right? Or the producers, or engineers, or mixers, or session musicians, or, you know, the people actually performing the songs. Fuck them, right?
Seize the means of production.
Yeah, worth noting, there's a big name missing here. Apple Music. Reportedly, all sources have indicated that Apple will not be challenging this because they are actually a little more supportive of royalty increases since, you know, their service is, you know, pay only. And good on Tim Apple for doing that. I'm sure his father, Steve Apple, was looking down at him and going, well done, son. Well done. God.
Apples.
Cook is a monosyllabic word, clown shoes. God. Idiot.
Monosyllabic. That sounds like communist rhetoric.
No. The buzzword now is socialist rhetoric.
Well, as we all know, socialism is just a stepping stone to communism, clearly.
Yeah. So, yeah, when this news broke, many people were not happy, including our own Daddy Dines. But fear not, for Spotify has responded to these reports and claims with this headline coming from Variety. We're not suing songwriters, guys. Come on.
Oh, yes. This sounds like it comes with a caveat.
Yeah. You might have heard about the streaming industry CRB appeal. Here's what you need to know. This came from a blog post from the Spotify for Artists page, and, Rob, I think it's a good thing your band is on Bandcamp, because you actually get paid from Bandcamp.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, Spotify, we get that you're not suing songwriters. You're appealing this proposed 44% royalty increase because, you know, people gotta get paid.
People need money, bro.
Pulling out this gigantic blog post, very much akin to, well, y'all remember the whole Change the Channel thing from last year?
Oh, that's what this reminds me of. Okay. We're sorry you felt that way.
Yeah. Thankfully, you know, Spotify isn't doing anything horrible like, you know, not telling people about an accused sexual predator for 5 years, but that's neither here nor there. But, you know, they just don't want to pay more money per stream, which, okay, I'll play devil's advocate and say for larger artists like Drake, Ariana Grande, those people, I get that they're the most popular people on these platforms, and, you know, considering Thank You Next had, what, 54 million streams in its first weekend or whatever, yeah, I get that would be a little bit more of a payout. But for smaller artists, that's who you're really biting in the ass. The people who are trying to make a name for themselves using these big platforms and probably aren't getting a whole lot out of it. To which I say, screw you, this is why I use Apple Music. And now I gotta throw in a bit of a meme here, because as we all know, nothing is truly set in stone until we hear what Corey Taylor thinks.
Ooh, boy!
Quoting him in a tweet to Spotify, Pandora, and Amazon, I guess not Google as well, but whatever, because I couldn't find it, or, you know, length or whatever. Quote, "This is not a fight you will win. You have had carte blanche with our music for too long. We, the songwriters of the world, look forward to challenging your contention." So here's the payout that's going to be enacted over the next 5 years that songwriters and publishers would earn from services like Spotify, Pandora, etc. 2018, 11.4%. 2019, 12.3%. 2020, 13.3%. 2021, 14.2%. 2022, 15.1%. That's not even 4% of a revenue increase. To which I say to all these people, screw you, pay them.
Motherfuckers gotta get paid.
Pay a little guy some cash. Yeah.
You know, we got bills. We got to keep electricity running in our, you know, computers so we can actually produce all this goddamn music. We got to have money, you know, pay the water bills. We can take showers so we don't necessarily have to smell like fucking feces and cigarette smoke after a show.
Yeah.
That too. So we can eat something other than fucking, like, cheap wings at the bar.
Yeah. So, one more person I got to mention here. The president of the National Music Publishers Association, and boy, this is a very awkward name. I hope I'm saying it right. David Israelite.
Oh.
That's a little bit of an awkward name.
Okay.
So, this was his statement when the ruling for a 44% increase was enacted. Quote, "The Copyright Royalty Board published today that the final rates and terms for songwriters for mechanical royalties..." This was announced a year ago. I was over that whole thing. And I'm just going to quote this digital music news piece. He explained that both the NMPA, and the Nashville Songwriters Association International had fought hard to increase songwriter royalties. And he has also warned major companies to not challenge the bill. Quote, "The digital music companies now have 30 days to appeal that ruling and, in effect, declare war on songwriters," which they did. Now here we are. Quote, quoting him again, "The CRB's final determination gave songwriters only their second meaningful rate increase in 110 years. Instead of accepting the CRB's decision, which still values songs less than their fair market value, Spotify and Amazon have declared war on the songwriting community by appealing that decision." Yeah, that just feels very in style with everything going on in the world today, aren't we?
Then they're wondering why we're all so desperate to import guillotines into the United States.
Yeah. I'm sure this whole thing's going to last a while, and should anything come out of it, we'll report on it, but, yeah. Screw all y'all. This is why I use Apple Music, because they at least know better to not fuck with artists, okay? Especially when it comes to their money. Because that is a fight you're not going to win.
I should probably start looking at what my other options are. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, that about does it for all the news topic discussion. Now we got one last bit of business here to take care of, and that is, of course, the new album releases for March 15th, 2019. Starting right up at the top, we have the newest release from metal act Fallujah with Undying Light. From Chicago thrash act Oozing Wound, we have their newest release, High Anxiety. We have a new project from Snarky Puppy called Immigrants. There's the new self-titled project from The Brian Jonestown Massacre. And last but certainly not least, the much-anticipated collaborative project of Karen O and Danger Mouse with Lux Prima. Yeah, kind of a light week, to be honest. I'm guessing it's since it's spring break in most places, they're probably not expecting people to jam out too much to new shit. But whatever, it is what it is. So now time to clean house and get the fuck out of here. So Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, the name is Aura of Azure, where I just jump in whenever I feel like to talk about whatever I feel like, you know, at that moment. I'm very impulsive like that.
Mark, what about you?
Matt Hybrid Media on Twitter, and of course my site on hybrid1.wordpress.com. Recently I posted my top Adult Swim singles of 2018 to 2019 so far on there. And this one is a list that I pretty much, yeah, it was an easy one to make, but it's more like, you know, kind of a, you know, mid-year at all, but I guess you won't guess what number one was so far.
Yeah. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and CuriousCat at Rob Barracuda. Email me, robert@swearresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video highlights usually go up by the weekend on the official YouTube channel of Swear Resolution. Just subscribe there, hit the bell tab so you're notified when anything happens over on that place. Follow us on Twitter at SurrealRezzo, like us on Facebook, visit us at SurrealResolution.com for our written content, for this podcast, for Podcast ONA, for all of that good shit. Be sure to jump into our Discord chat as well if you want to debate that one video about the order of the chips. And of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Thank you for joining us this week. We'll, of course, be back next week. And until next time... Wow, you can't pet the dogs in Skyrim? Why the fuck do people like that game so much?